Now, Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case histories. Gangbusters has asked the Honorable John J. Sullivan, former Chief of Detectives and Deputy Commissioner, New York City Police Department, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Welcome back to Gangbusters, Chief Sullivan.
Thank you, Don Gardner. But before we get started, I think everyone should know that the alertness of another Gangbusters listener has resulted in the capture of a badly wanted criminal.
Yes, Chief Sullivan. Yesterday, a young woman, Mrs. June Cullender of Des Moines, Iowa, recognized Kaz Robert Henderson, a fugitive from Seattle, Washington, through a description of tattoos broadcast on a Gangbusters clue. The fugitive is now in a Des Moines jail, awaiting return to Seattle. We hope to have Mrs. Cullender on the Gangbusters program next week to tell everyone of her experience. Now, about tonight's case, Chief Sullivan. Just before we went on the air, you told me that the gunman type of criminal is actually less troublesome to police than the smooth operator.
Yes, Don Gardner. But brains or brawn, criminals usually have one common characteristic, and that is greed. To show you what I mean, suppose we begin in New York City a few years ago. It was after 4 o'clock in the morning, and the lobby of one of the city's most fashionable Park Avenue hotels was deserted, except for the housemen who were busy cleaning the floors and furniture. The handsome but slightly tipsy young man in top hat and white tie who walked across the lobby toward the desk didn't distract the workers. They had seen too many of the type.
One side, peasants. One side. Make way for the king. Make way for the king. Clear the king's highway. The key to the royal bedchamber, if you please.
Good morning, Mr. Carr.
My key, if you please.
Yes, sir. 432 keys.
The royal bedchamber.
Sorry, Mr. Carr, there's no key in the box.
No key? Well, that's perfectly ridiculous, man. There must be a key.
Perhaps, sir, your wife took them both upstairs with her by mistake.
Ah, you have hit the solution. I shall reward you handsomely. But it wasn't by mistake. Queen merely wants to see at what time the king arrives home from his rendezvous with the dancing girls.
Now, that appears to be the answer, Mr. Carr.
And I shall pound upon the door with the fury of a Henry seeking entrance to the boudoir of Anne Boleyn. Good night, my loyal vassal.
Oh, Mr. Carr.
You speak?
Perhaps I could send a bellman up with a passkey.
Ah, a noble plan. I'll reward you twofold.
Front boy.
We shall foil the plot of the wicked queen. See? One of my grenadiers in uniform approaches.
Oh, yes, sir?
Boy, take the passkey up and let Mr. Carr into 432.
Oh, yes, sir. After you, sir.
Oh, I am not above my offices. We shall walk arm in arm.
Yes, sir.
Ooh.
You have to watch it, sir.
rough terrain.
Kind of a rough night, too, huh?
Rough. Absolutely wild.
Mm. Now, watch your step getting on the elevator there.
Yes, I shall reward you handsomely also.
Four.
Handsome chariot. Rise, rise, rise to the heights.
Yeah, only to the fourth floor, sir.
Oh, well, well spoken, lad.
Mm, I know. You shall reward me twofold.
Tenfold.
Okay, King, let's go. In yon direction, King.
You know, it's a wonder how I can feel so good and so bad all at the same time.
Well, it's no wonder to me, King.
Shh. What? We approach.
Okay. Shh.
Try the key gently, lest we awaken the queen.
Mm. She's got the double lock on, Kingy. You're out of luck.
Shh.
It's okay.
Ah, ha, ha. Bully, lad, bully.
Okay, watch your step, King. I'll get the light.
Have a noble gesture, my...
Uh-oh. The queen is in the parlor.
Well, Andrew, are you dressed to go out tonight or last night?
We're just out for a walk around the block, my dear. Oh, excuse me.
Andrew!
Well, how do you like that?
Do something.
Well, he's only passed out, lady.
Well, do something quick.
Well, he's got to sleep it off.
Oh, Andrew, speak to me.
He'll be all right.
Run and get some ice, quick.
Yeah, but lady,
run and get some ice.
Yeah, all right. He'll be okay. Don't worry.
Andrew, speak to me. Speak to me.
Hi, baby.
Like a child.
Did you leave the key in the door?
Yeah.
Grab it fast.
Neat trick, Andy.
How about the wax?
Got it.
Okay, now let's get busy. We've got about a minute to make an impression of that key before he gets back. $50,000 is ought to be good for it. At least $50,000.
Oh, it was a real neat trick, Andy.
Talent, baby, talent. That's all it takes.
Hello?
Lieutenant Hanson?
Yeah?
Well, this is Will.
Will?
A bellhop at the Park Edge.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry if I woke you, but you said call any time, so I'm calling.
That's all right, Will. What's up?
I think I got some information for you, Lieutenant.
Oh?
Yeah. I think a guy registered here got a wax impression of the passkey. The key looked like it had some wax left on it. Shall I light a match to it? And
No. We'll take care of that. You know who it was, Will?
Yeah, a guy named Andrew Carr in 432. He's supposed to be from Chicago. He looked like a phony to me. The minute I saw him, he looked phony.
All right, Will. Just take it easy. Just tell me what happened.
Well, he walks in the lobby a little after 4. Loaded, see? Or making like he was loaded.
Mm-hmm.
He walks up to the desk and asks for his key. But there's no key in the park, see? So the clerk gets the pass key and has me take him up.
Andy, you finished shaving?
Yeah, baby.
Breakfast here. I poured the coffee.
Yeah, I'm ready. Oh, what a life. Room service, class galore.
Oh, it ought to be good at $20 a day.
Well, every enterprise has got to have its investment, baby. This one will pay off. Want the cherry off my grapefruit?
Thank you.
Yeah, I hate to leave this comfort. Oh, Texas grapefruit.
Then we're checking out today?
Well, we got what we came after, didn't we? This trip, I mean. That little piece of wax is worth $50,000 at least. Pass the show, will you?
Yeah.
After breakfast, I want you to take that wax down to Harry and let him make up a key.
Okay.
Then we'll try it on our door here before we check out. You know, it's too bad, baby.
What's too bad?
It's too bad we just can't back a truck up to the hotel. As long as we're going to clean the place out, we might as well do a good job.
Oh, honest, Andy. Aren't you ever satisfied?
Satisfied? We're on the gravy train, baby. Nobody ever had a sweeter racket.
Well, I think we just ought to enjoy things a little bit.
What's the matter? Aren't you enjoying yourself now? Breakfast in your room? What else do you want?
They only have to get us once. That's all. Just once.
Don't worry about it, baby. It gives you wrinkles. How could it be safer? Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Carr of Chicago check out today. The hotel forgets about us. In a couple of weeks, if a few of the suites here are burglarized, nobody gets a connection. Well, eggs on a wren. Now, isn't that a nice way to start the day?
Lieutenant Hanson. Oh, hello, Chief. Well, I'd say it looks pretty good. We put a surveillance on the... Oh, come in, Ryan. Ryan just walked in, Chief. If anything looks hot, I'll call you back. So long.
Hi, boss.
That was the chief calling from downtown.
He's anxious, huh?
Well, after about 50 apartment house and hotel room burglaries, wouldn't you be anxious, too?
I am anxious. But I won't be for long.
You think they're right, huh?
Right is a two-story flat in Elmhurst.
Good, let's have it.
They're registered under the names of Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Carr, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They call Chicago. There's no such address as the one they give on Michigan Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
He stayed in the room this morning, and she went out. I put Adler to following him.
And?
The lady went over to Lexington Avenue, down into the subway station, took the local to Grand Central, and changed for an express. She got off at Canal Street and went upstairs. She turned the corner into Lafayette, went into a hardware store. A hardware store owned by one Harry Nelson.
Anything on Nelson?
The safe and loft squad knows him. He did 2 to 5 in Sing Sing for unlawful entry.
Hmm.
Picked up 4 times on suspicion of receiving since. Each case dismissed in felony court for want of evidence.
You think friend Harry is making the pass keys from the wax molds?
I'd venture a guess.
Did she wait for the key?
Apparently not. She wasn't in there more than 5 minutes. As soon as Adler called me, I sent Sherman down to maintain a surveillance of the hardware store.
What about the girl?
She hopped in a cab and went to Saks Fifth Avenue. Adler stayed right behind her. She took the elevator to the beauty parlor where she now reposes.
And Adler?
He reposes there, too. He just phoned me. The girl's a regular customer of the Saks beauty parlor. She's known to them as Mrs. Mona Davis of 1642 Buchanan Avenue, the Bronx, from which address she has a charge account, pays her bills regularly.
All right, send somebody to take over from Adler.
Okay.
I want him to check around that Bronx address.
Okay, boss. Well, looks like we got a line on the right people, huh?
Maybe.
Maybe. What are they doing? Checked into the hotel with a phony name and a phony Chicago address. What does she visit a shady hardware guy for? It all adds up?
Yeah. Keep them under surveillance, Ryan. We can't walk in on these people and arrest them for burglary with just this to go on. We've got to nail them with some of the goods on them, otherwise we've got no case.
Okay, boss. Say, that's a pretty smart kid, this bellhop, huh?
Oh, yes, yes. That reminds me of something I want to do.
What?
I want to see the manager of that hotel again. I want to see if we can get a few of our people under the staff there for a couple of days. They might not try to use that pass key for a few weeks, but I want somebody on the inside just in case. Come on, let's go.
Right with you, boss.
So, Don, the detectives came across a bit of information that was soon to develop into a case against the suspects. But many days of patient waiting were in store for the police before a lost trail and a train whistle would bring the end of the case into view.
You were telling us, Chief Sullivan, that several teams of detectives were put to work gathering all sorts of information on Andy and Mona.
That's right, Don. And by the time the suspects checked out of their hotel late that afternoon, Lieutenant Hansen already knew more about the couple than they knew about each other. In an effort to catch them in the act of committing burglary, skillfully operating detectives were close behind when Andy and Mona left their permanent apartment in the Bronx early the next morning and rode downtown in a taxicab. Still other detectives watched the cab pull up in front of Harry's hardware store and saw Mona get out alone and walk into the store.
Hello, Harry.
Mona, sweetheart.
Is it ready, Harry?
Sure, baby, it's ready.
All right, let's have it.
That's no reason to be in a hurry, sweetheart. Let's talk it over.
But I told you, Andy's waiting.
Andy, he's been on the gravy train too long. You go out and tell him this key'll cost him $5.
$5?
In plain language, sweetheart, $500.
That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous? What good would you two be without me to make them keys? You wouldn't be no good at all. Now go out and tell Andy.
Harry, please.
You can't soft-soap me, sweetheart. I know where the body's buried. Without $5, no key, no mold, no hat full of jewelry.
Harry, you better not.
Okay, hold it. Customer.
Good morning. Have you got any...
Just a minute, mister. The ladies first.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, lady. That's the only size we got.
Well, I'll see if it's okay with my husband. He's right outside.
Yeah, you do that.
I'll be right back.
Okay, mister?
Yeah, I'd like to see a lock.
There's all kinds of locks.
Right for my tool shed.
Oh. Maybe I got something. Maybe. Take your pick. The price is the mark.
2.5 for this one?
That's what it's marked, ain't it?
Awful lot for locks.
There's other locks there. Better, cheaper. Look them over.
Yeah, thanks.
I brought my husband with me.
I still ain't got the size you want.
Well, let's see what you do have.
How much is this lock, mister?
The price is marked on it.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Now you look the locks over, mister. I got to show these people some merchandise.
Yeah, go right on. I got plenty of time.
This way, please, lady.
Maybe I can use the size you showed my wife, if the price is right.
In here.
Thank you.
All right, Harry. What's this about $500?
You want the key? That's what it'll cost you.
Give me back my mold.
I meant to tell you, Andy, the mold got ruined in making the key. First time it ever happened to me.
You little swindler, you ought to...
Andy.
Business is business, Andy.
Now, listen to me. You think you're getting away with this larceny act. think again.
Andy, you got a sweet little racket. Who knows how much you clean up. But it wouldn't be worth a nickel without me or somebody like me to make the keys. So I figure I'm entitled to some consideration. Not a lot, just five bills worth.
Let's get out of here, Andy. Forget it.
Forget nothing. Old cheap hustler's going to take me over the coals.
If you want the key, Andy, consider yourself took.
All right, Harry. You got your five bills. But it's the last business we ever do.
Lieutenant Hanson.
Ryan, boss.
Yes, Ryan. Let's have it.
They flagged a cab in front of their pop and rode down to the hardware store. I went inside to buy a lock. Looks like they had a little bit of trouble with Harry.
What kind of trouble?
I think he tried to hold him up with the key.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like he got away with it. He was in a pretty good mood. He came back to wait on me. Hey, you know, boss, you got some bargains down there in locks. I picked up a neat one for $1.98.
Ryan, where'd they go from there?
Yeah, this was a sort of a... Oh, yeah, well, they had a cab waiting. Adler and Mackey are behind them. I told Mackey to keep on top of the couple and Adler to bring in the cab driver when they drop him.
Okay. You get yourself in here, Ryan. I want to talk to you.
Go up 5th, driver.
Yeah.
Let us off in the corner of 57th.
I got you.
Look, Andy, as long as we're leaving town, we ought to get rid of this stuff.
Okay, we'll talk about it later.
Andy, listen to me, will you? We're leaving town. Why don't we wait until we go to Florida or someplace before we try to sell any more of that stuff? It's too dangerous here in New York.
You think we're going to travel on air?
We've got cash. Plenty of cash. You know we have.
I got to make up that $500. Now remember, when we get in the jewelers, the ring is an heirloom. Your grandmother left it to you.
Okay. Well, at least we're leaving. That's something.
Sure, we're leaving. After I do a little more business.
Andy, you're not thinking of going back to the hotel before we leave. The key will be just as good when we get back.
In 3 months, the hotel could burn down.
But, Andy, it's only yesterday we checked out. They'll remember us.
Well, I'm only thinking about it, baby. That's all. Just thinking about it.
Okay, boss. I sent Wallach over to the jewelry store to pick up the ring.
Good boy. Well, the best I can make out, it came out of the Central Park South job. Mrs. Weston.
Mrs. Weston will be delighted. Not to mention her insurance company.
Mm-hmm. As soon as the ring gets here, call Mrs. Weston to come down and see if it's hers, huh?
Sure. Well, at least that gives us a receiving and concealing charge against them.
I don't want them for any 1 to 2, Ryan. We'll stay with it until we can nail them for first-degree burglary at least.
Well, if you got nothing else, boss, take what you got.
Besides, we might have trouble making a receiving charge stick. They can claim they bought the ring from a friend, they found it on the street, anything. This Andy character knows the ropes.
He should, with his record.
When we get them, let's get them good. Then we...
Busy, Lieutenant.
Well, come on in, Adler.
I got the hacky outside. Hi, Ron.
Adler.
Did you get anything out of him?
He couldn't hear their conversation while they were driving. The hack's a 1942 job.
Yeah, they're about as quiet as Ebbets Field on payday.
Well, when they stop down there at the hardware store, she goes in by herself.
Yeah, I saw her.
Well, she comes out right away. Driver hears her tell Andy he wants $500 for the key.
Oh, so it was that.
Andy about blows his top. He tells the hacky to wait.
Wait a minute. Lieutenant Hanson. Oh, hello, Mackey. Where? That's so. To where, do you know? All right, stick with him. I'll send Adler over to meet you. Don't let them get away. We're coming down to the wire.
What is it, boss?
They're buying railroad tickets.
To where?
He doesn't know yet. They're waiting in line to be called. Adler.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Get down to the Consolidated Ticket Office, 47th Street. Mackey says there's a big line. They'll be there another 10 minutes at least.
Right.
You and Mackey stay with them. Okay, get going.
Hey, what about the cab driver?
Ask him to wait. I'll talk to him in a minute.
Right, sharp. I'll call, Lieutenant.
Okay.
Well, boss?
Well, yourself.
If they get on the train, there goes your beautiful case right out the window.
Well, maybe the tickets are for 2 weeks from now. Who knows? Andy's got a lot of money invested in that key.
I know, and guys that keep pass keys in their pockets for months before they tried them. Now, if they're going to Florida or someplace and you want me to stick close to them, I'll just get my fishing tackle out of the attic, throw a few things in the
They're not going anyplace.
No, huh?
No. If they do a job, we got them. Otherwise, we'll pull them off the train and try to stick them with the receiving and concealing charge.
Thought you didn't want them for 1 to 2, boss.
Well, it's a lot better than nothing. Come on. Let's talk to that cab driver.
Sergeant Ryan.
Hello, Ryan Adler. Where's the lieutenant?
job. What's up?
That train tickets are for tonight.
Uh-oh.
11:31 on the coast, special to Miami. Bedroom A, car 381 from Penn Station.
Where are they now?
They're having a hot chocolate in the tea room.
With a marshmallow?
No, with whipped cream.
Nice people.
Awful nice people.
Okay, you and Maggie stay with them. Looks like we'll have to grab them when they get on that train. Lieutenant?
Yes?
Adler, Maggie and I are at Penn Station.
Already?
They must not want to miss that train. They checked their bags, then went into the restaurant.
Well, all right. Stay on top of them, Adler. Ryan and I will be down to help with the pinch just before the train pulls out.
Got you, Lieutenant. Wait a minute. There's Maggie outside the booth. Hold on just a minute. What?
Adler.
Lieutenant, we lost them.
You what?
Mackie says they ducked out of the restaurant. Went into the subway station going uptown. The doors closed before he could make it.
All right, get this. Have Mackie stick there. Tell him to get out the bags they checked and go through them. You hop in a cab and meet me at the entrance to the Park Edge Hotel in 10 minutes. You got that?
Yep, I'll see you.
Ryan. Sergeant Ryan.
What's up, boss?
Come on, let's go.
Sure, where?
I think Andy and Mona are on their way to make the hotel.
You're kidding.
They've got an hour and a half before the train leaves, and Andy's just the kind of a guy who doesn't let grass grow under his feet.
Here's what we're after, baby.
Gee, it's gorgeous.
I'll say. Bracelet alone is worth $10,000. Okay, let's go. Hope these people are having a nice time at the theater. They're sure not going to be happy when they get home. Hold it.
Okay.
Open the door, take a look in the hall, then head for the stairs. We'll go up a flight and take room 423.
Andy, please. We'll miss our train.
Open the door, baby.
Looks okay. Please, Andy, enough's enough. We've only got a few minutes.
Okay, okay. We'll take the elevator and get on out. I'll ring.
Andy, we're back here too soon. Much too soon for me.
What's the matter with you? In 2 minutes, we'll be out of the front door and on our way to Florida. This was one of the best yet.
The elevator.
Humphrey.
Oh, excuse me.
That's quite all right.
We don't have much time, dear.
Well, don't worry, darling. We'll make the train.
Excuse me. Trains run on standard time, you know, not daylight saving.
Yes, we know. Thank you very much.
Come in, Robbie.
Go on, honey.
I hope we're not spotted by any of the help that knows us.
Don't worry about it. Just head up the street for a cinch.
Evening, Mr. Carr.
Oh, Andy.
Quiet. Hello there.
Remember me? The bellhop that fixed you up that night. Boy, were you a mess. A royal mess. How you been feeling okay lately?
Oh, yes, yes. Fine, young man.
I thought you'd be back in Chicago by now.
Well, we flew up to Boston, in fact. We just stopped by to see some friends between planes.
Oh, well, have a good trip. You too, lady.
Thank you. We will.
Come on, dear. Good night.
Good night. And watch your step, your majesty.
Yes, good night.
Thanks a lot, Will.
Well, Lieutenant, hey, they're going out the door. They'll get away.
I don't think so. Reception committee is waiting.
Oh, good. I was worried for a second.
Confidentially, it's better evidence if we arrest them after they leave the building with the stolen goods. Well, I want to be in on this.
Yeah, me too. Can I?
Why not? It's your case. Come on.
Yes, sir. I'm right with you.
That, Don, was how the slick jewel thieves were finally arrested with the goods. It was the result of diligent and patient police work following a tip from an observant citizen. Nearly $250,000 of loot was recovered from the persons of these thieves and from the bags they had checked at Penn Station. It was all returned to the rightful owners, and the criminals were given maximum terms to serve in New York State institutions.
Well, thank you, Chief Sullivan, for this extraordinary case history. And Gangbusters, congratulations to all the detectives who participated in the investigation and arrest. Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by William Sweets, with Arnold Moss and Les Damon in leading roles. Don Gardner speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.